that sometimes it's hard to see the blessings for the storms, because sometimes it's hard to imagine the Lord bringing any good out of what you're going through. Now, I don't know the nature of the storm that you may be facing, but I do know the one who still walks on the ways. I know that if you bring your need to him, he will hear you and he will help you this morning. Who knows, this morning he might show up riding on your storm. My brothers and sisters, if you need help from the way walker, then this altar is open to all who would come. And so bring your need to Jesus and let him have his way in your life, and he will reveal the hidden blessings in the storms of life. I'm talking about Jesus, the bright and the morning star. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus, the one who died on a hill called Calvary. He died for your sins and mine as he hung on that cross. Yes, Lord, from the sixth to the ninth hour, he died that we might live. And they buried him in a borrowed tomb where he lay there 3 days and three nights. And somewhere before the dew dried up on the roses, he got up from the grave with all power and heaven and earth in his hands. And right now he's seated on the right hand of the throne of God. He's making intercession for you and me. And God, all right, it's because he lives I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, all fear is gone. And God, all right, so if you belong to the Lord, don't worry about your storms. Everything gonna be all right. I hear Paul telling the Thessalonica church, he said, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. He said, everything give thanks, for this is the will of God and Christ Jesus for you. And so come what may, just hold on to God's unchanging hand, and after a while everything will be all right. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And even in the midst of a storm, he will direct your path. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Yes, he will. The reason I know, because I tried him for myself. Sometimes it gets a little harder. Yes, it does. But I'm going to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I know right now he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. Ain't God all right? Yes, Lord. Yeah.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be alright.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio.
It'll be alright.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be alright. KAYT.
No need to
got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Amen. Will you help me thank God for the choir one more time? What a blessing. Amen. Please permit me to mention to you, if the Lord has put it in your spirit, to bless this church concerning all these beautiful chairs that you see. I want to mention that the deaconesses have a chair or a table in the lobby, and it's for you to be a blessing. We're still taking contributions, and we're still praying that God will use you to be a blessing to the church. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. We're grateful to all of our guests who are here today. We appreciate every one of you. The book is Matthew, chapter 14. We're going to read from verse 22 through verse 32. I invite you to read corporately with me this morning. It's good for all of us to read our own Bible. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through verse 32. Shall we all read? And straight away Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Continue. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Amen. Before you sit down this morning, I would like for us to pray. It's always good to pray. Please permit me to also mention, develop a habit of saying something with your own mouth. I can pray for you. Other people can pray for you. But there is nothing like praying for your own self. I can guide you, but at the end of the day, nobody knows like you know what is going on in your life. The Bible said in Psalms 91, verse number 16, he said, with long life, he will satisfy you because you know his salvation. While you are still standing, begin to pray that God will grant you long life. Say, Father, I pray that you grant me long life. Ask God for long life for your children. Ask God for long life for yourself. Ask God for long life for your parents. There's too many funerals. Too many people are dying in the community. Oh, God in Zion, we pray this morning for long life. We stand in agreement with your word. And Lord, we are grateful for long life. Abraham lived 145 years. David lived 70 years. Moses lived 120. You need to ask God how much you want. So don't just say 70. If you want to live more than 70, believe God for more. Begin to pray this morning. Lord, I thank you for long life. Long life in my family. In the name of Jesus. Pray that you will never have to bury your own children. Open your mouth. Say, Lord, I thank you. My children will bury me. I won't bury my children. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for long life in my generation, long life in my church, long life in my family, long life. Everyone connected with me, long life in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth, shout amen. Amen. The Bible said, I don't write the book, all I can do is to call your attention to it. In the book of Psalms, number 90, verse 14. David said, oh God, satisfy me early with your mercy. What David is talking about is that he don't want to wait until he's too old to enjoy the blessings of God. It's a good thing if you can buy your first home, but you don't want to buy your first home at the age 80. That's why David said, I pray that you satisfy me early. Open your mouth, begin to thank God for early blessings in your life. Say, Lord, I thank you that my blessing will come on time blessing in my house. You don't want to be 65 years old and still paying student loan. It's good you went to school, but that's too late a blessing. You want to be able to enjoy your blessing right now. Begin to thank God. Say, Lord, I thank you for on-time blessing. I thank you for on-time miracles. In the name of Jesus, I cover my children with the blood of Jesus. I cover my marriage with the blood. I cover my house with the blood. I cover my business with the blood of Jesus. I cover my job with the blood of Jesus. It is so. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth, shout amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I want to share with you for a few minutes on how you can have faith even in the midst of storm. Our subject for discussion is titled Faith in the Midst of Storm. The passage I just read to you is about the disciples of Jesus Christ when they were in the storm. And I believe this passage in the Bible is there so that you and I can learn from it. The question must be asked, why on earth do God's children get in a storm? Why do God allow storm in a Christian's life? please permit me to mention that sometimes God allows storm in our life so that he can raise us up. Storms of life is not meant to punish us, but God used storms to develop us. Please take note that Jesus Christ did not just call 12 disciples, he groomed them and he raised them up, just like an eagle. Many times you can see the parallel between the disciples of Jesus Christ and how an eagle raised its own children. In fact, way back in the Old Testament, God had forewarned us that he deal with us just like eagles deal with his children. In other words, sometimes he will make us learn to fly. Are you still here? So that we can be strong like eagles. Eagles are very strong animals. They're strong birds. They're very visionary. They have strong vision. So Jesus wants to prepare his own disciples, like his own children, that they will be strong. Just like eagles have strong wings. He wants his disciples to be matured in the Lord. Amen. To have strong vision. People say that eagles can even see in the dark. Wouldn't it be nice if you're a child of God and you just don't see during daytime, but you can see even during hard time? So this storm that the disciples went through is not meant to kill them. It's meant to grow them. Eagles make love in the air. There's a reason there. By the way, stay on the ground when you make love. There's a reason why eagles will make love in the air. Why, Brother Pastor? So that they won't have to crossbreed with flamingos. Are you still here? In other words, if you see the eagle mating, They only hang around, they only make love and mate with people of like mindset. Jesus wants to train his disciples to set their heart on things above. He wants them to be as set apart. By the way, that mandate is not just for those disciples, but also for you and me. One thing also that is very unique about the eagles is the way they raise their children, is the way they train their young ones. So here we find Jesus training his disciples through the storm. You can see, for example, other birds will make their nest on the ground. Other birds will make their nests sometimes on trees. But when you're dealing with eagles, they always make their nests on the mountain, on the cliff. There's a reason for that, because so that when that baby eaglet, the first time he or she opens his eyes, he will find himself high, not low. It is very, very important that as a child of God that we don't think small. Amen. Are you still here? Amen. By having the nest way out there on top of the mountain, that baby eaglet is prevented from having low mentality. When he opened it up for the first time, he see himself way up there. So like eagle, Jesus in this passage is trying to use the storm to train his disciples so that they can reach higher than just watching 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I believe the same God is expecting more of you and me this morning. The problem with many of us is that we deal with people who don't have what we have. Too many people like to hang around lower people than themselves. It makes them feel good. Not too long ago, for example, I learned how to play card. Deacon Pete Johnson taught me how to play card. We play Uno together. And ladies and gentlemen, I love to play with Brother Johnson, but there's a reason why I do that. If you play with people that you can defeat all the time, you will never get better. Am I making sense to somebody? When I play with Deacon Pete, he's a master in Uno. He likes to win, and I like to win. And so, because he's very good at what he does, every time I play with him, it makes me better. The same thing is true with life. You need to find somebody that will push you up and not push you down. Am I making sense? That's why I always teach people in this church, I'll see you at the top. You'll never get me to mention, let's go down. We've been down all of our life. It's time to go up. Amen. So don't read this passage as, okay, here we go again, Christian running to storm, having problem. No, Jesus is using that storm to prop them, to develop them, to teach them how to soar in the midst of crisis. You and I need to be reaching for top objects. You and I need to be reaching for something above you, not beneath you. You don't reach for something below. If something is below you, you have to bend down. I don't know about you. Aren't you tired of bending down? The essence of this ministry is to show you what you are able to do in the Lord, in Christ. God made you. He said, you are seated in the heavenly with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, far above. That's right, Pastor. Far above principalities. I get a little uncomfortable for any child of God who wants to stay down when God is trying to take you up. Are you still here this morning? And please take note, folks don't want you to go up. They don't want you to believe God for big things. You know why? Because misery loves company. They know when you move up, they can no longer control you. But the heart of God for you, the plan of God for you, is for you to think big, for you to reach higher, for you to go up and not stay the same. Every day you ought to be moving from glory to glory. Amen, somebody. Another thing that I noticed between those eagles and the disciples of Jesus Christ, eagles always make their nest very comfortable. Their nest is very cushy, very nice, very comfortable, very protective. And the same thing you find with the disciples of Jesus Christ. As long as they were around Jesus Christ, they were very comfortable. They witnessed miracles. They lack nothing. He would send them out and say, when I sent you out, did you lack anything? Oh, they say, oh, Reverend, we lack nothing. They were spoiled. See, that next That's where the eagle feed. That's where the eagle eat. That's where the eagle sleep. That's where the eagle develop. While it's good to have a comfortable nest, the problem is that that nest, which is a blessing, can turn to be a curse. Yes, the reason why many of our children are acting ugly today is because we raise them in a comfortable nest and we leave them in a comfortable nest all their life. That is why from time to time an eagle will stir up the nest to force that children to learn through hard time, to learn how to survive, to learn how to overcome the storm. That's what you see in this passage. Jesus recognized that these disciples are becoming too comfortable. The Bible said they become at ease in Zion. Brother Pastor, how can you say that the disciples of Jesus Christ were becoming too comfortable? Well, I'm glad you asked. I happen to be a lawyer. Just look at the proof. Look at the evidence. They have now gotten to the point that they are arguing among themselves who is going to be top notch, who is going to be the big shot. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the same disciples that they've become so comfortable that when people like the Syrophoenician woman come to Jesus, instead of helping her, they want to run away. Look like some of us church people, isn't it? Become spoiled, becomes too comfortable. Ladies and gentlemen, you remember the story of Zacchaeus. I'm just proving my case so that you know why Jesus have to make you sometime to go through storm. I want you to understand why sometimes Jesus had to make me to go through storm. I want you to understand why Jesus literally sent his own disciples into this storm. Here we find Zacchaeus, who just got saved. Jesus said, today I'm coming to your home. Guess what the disciples were doing? Look like some of us. You wait until a wino walked in here. We hold our nose. We become spoiled. We think we're better than other people. Jesus knew Houston would got a problem. We have to do something with these disciples because they're getting too comfortable. You remember one time Jesus was trying to hang out with a woman who was shacking up? Am I still in the book? I'm just proving my case to let you know why sometime God will make sure that you and me go through a storm. Here is a woman who has been with many men. And Jesus had an appointment with her to convert her, to witness to her. By the well, all those disciples, they had a fit. No, boss, we're not going to go through Samaria. That's a no good town. I wonder how many of you will still be around if a KKK joined the church. Oh, no, Pastor, we don't want that in this show. These disciples, they become too comfortable. They become spoiled. They become sheltered. In fact, one time, Jesus was ministering to 5,000 people. People were tired. It's been a long day. And Jesus tell them, look, you all need to go feed these people. Guess what they want to do? I want to send them away. How many times people have need in our churches? And they will walk through our door. Can I have something to eat? I'm hungry. My baby needs diapers. And you'll be surprised how many times we say, directly or indirectly, send them away. We become spoiled. We become sheltered. I never will forget it got so bad that even children could not approach Jesus. These disciples say, oh no, this is an old kid's game. You need to get the kids out of here. We're taking a serious business church meeting. And Jesus recognized we have to train these disciples. They're becoming too comfortable. Ladies and gentlemen, if these disciples were busy serving the Lord, they won't have no time debating who is big shot among them. Amazingly, I still deal with that mess. Even in our local church, everybody wants to be. Nobody wants to be Indian. Everybody thinks they got to be cheap. And in the process, then you look around. When is somebody going to roll their sleeve to get the work done? These disciples have become spoiled. So to get them to the next level, Jesus allowed a storm to come. Please take note, there's always going to be a conflict before you get to your next level. If you don't receive anything, grab hold of that. People that move up in life, they know that in order to get to your next level, you have to deal with some storm. Are you still here this morning? Just like these steps here, you see, these steps here. It's, if I'm going down, it's easy for me to go down, you know. See? Because the gravitational pull is pulling me down. It's a smooth sail. But then when I want to come up, I got to watch my step. I got to balance myself. I got to pull myself up. Why? Because if I don't watch my step, I might trip. The same thing in the spirit. When God gets ready to promote you, he allows some stuff in front of you to see if you're going to step up on it or you're going to trip over it. So a lot of things that you are crying about is really for your good. Oh, I believe I'll say that again. A lot of things that you're freaking out is what God is allowing in your life to promote you, to take you to another level in your faith. Amen, somebody. In order for God to take you to that next level, he will have to allow you to go through some things. That is why Jesus said to those disciples, he said, fellows, you see, they just finished preaching that day, and he said to them, fellows, I want you all to get in a boat, and then I want you all to go to the other side. Hey, what about you, Rev? He said, no, don't worry about me. I'll deal with the crowd. You'll just go on. And the Bible said they got in the boat. They were obedient. And they were going to the other side. And then the Bible said Jesus instead went on top of a mountain to pray. And in the process of time, it was getting late at night. The Bible even tells you the time when Jesus finished praying. At the fourth watch. Now, Jesus now decided to go join his disciples in the middle of the water. I wish I have time to really break it down. The Bible says he started to walk on water towards them. Now, two things happened while he was heading over there. Number one, the storm arose. Am I still in the book? Now, please take note that God is omniscient. In other words, before they went on the journey, he already knew there's going to be a storm. While they were in the storm, he already knew what they're going through. I can park my car and preach there because whatever you're dealing with right now, God already knows. Every challenge that you're faced with right now, God already knows. In fact, hallelujah, will you believe he knew even before you have the challenge? We serve an all-knowing, all-powerful God. So when these people were facing the storm, he already knew. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth be told, from time to time in a children of God's life, he will allow trouble. Literally, real trouble to come along our pathway. Especially if you discover you're becoming too comfortable. Especially if you notice that you think all that about yourself. You think you got it going. Nobody can tell you anything. You become the cat's meow. And you become the dog's bow wow. He just think you all that a cup of tea. You ever seen people like that? They go around. Oh, I'm just blessed. I'm sorry for the rest of you. I am just blessed. Me and my girlfriend, we're going on a vacation. You see, how you doing, brother? We just came back on a cruise. Here you are, you just want to say hello. Then they say, do you know what I drive? You just want to say, I wish you a good day. Wait, baby, let me tell you. Have you been to my neighborhood? Have you seen where I live? They think too highly of them. There's a brother like that in the Bible. God was blessing him, and he said, look at my barn. Just look at all my accomplishments. If you have that kind of spirit, this morning, you are sitting on the front row of trouble. God will make sure that he does not allow you to grow up being spoiled. A lot of dysfunction that we face in our homes today is because many of us spoil our children. It's okay to raise them in a good nest, but there comes a time when you have to look at your child in the face and say, baby, I got the money, but it's not for you. You go get yours. Hello, somebody. But every time he wants a Nike shoe, you make it happen. Every time he wants a Jordan, you make it happen. Every time he wants a new video game, you make it happen. Every time he wants Kool-Aid, you make it happen. Every time he wants ice cream, you make it happen. At some point, you are raising a criminal. Somebody needs to preach this gospel. One of the things I love about this passage is the commitment of Jesus Christ not to allow those disciples to be spoiled and rotten. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you. The Lord has done it for me many times. God has put me in a situation. He put me out there to humble me. And one thing he did for these disciples, he did not allow the storm to arise until the fourth watch. You know why? Because if he allowed the storm to arrive early, they will go back. Sometimes God will let you go way out there in the deep. am I helping somebody today? That you find yourself in a place you can go back. There's some project I've started. I wish I can just cancel it. But it's too late now. Well, I don't know who I'm preaching to today. You're too far now. You can't change your story. You might as well get with the program. Hello, somebody. And the reaction that most of us, when we find ourselves in that situation, our first reaction is to say, okay, well, no big deal. All right, storm, I can handle it. I still got some money. See, here you are. You've been telling everybody the Lord will make a way somehow, and they heard you. They even have a videotape of you singing. It's on Facebook. They got a copy. You got so happy. They watch it, and now you them lost your job. What you gonna do now? Because they knew what you've been telling the rest of the world. And many of us, the way we react, first we say, oh no, I can handle it. Yeah, I lost my job, but I got 401k. I got 407b. I got 501c. So we will continue to pretend as if we get it together. And then after a while, your 401k, B, C begin to run out. Now we begin to feel the pressure. Now you turn to your savings. You say, I'm cool. I got some savings. I saved me some stuff. During that 27 years of service, during that 32 years of working for the city and working for the state, or working for the federal prison and federal bureau of whatever. Yeah, I got me some saving. Ain't nobody going to know that I'm going through. I'm just going to take my time and I'll make some adjustment. And then you make the adjustment. You see, you're failing to recognize that you are in a storm. And it's not going to be by your own intellect to get out of this storm. Are you still here? You know why I can talk about this? Because I've been there. Then before you realize, when your savings begin, a five-year saving begin to turn to a five-month saving. Now you begin to sweat. So you say, okay, all right, I got to fix this. I'm going to check out a list of people that owe me. And then you get on the phone. All right, brother. You know I haven't called you in a long time. And you know I never call you unless there's a reason for it. But right now, you got to come through. Where's my money? Oh, goodness. And then before you realize it, you discover that even people that owe you, they couldn't come through for you. You are there for them. But now you cannot count on them to be there for you. Even when you document it, Brother Ray Ray, you know you loaned $1,200. Then when those folks who owe you, you supported them, you were there for them, now they're not there for you. Then you say, okay, all right. You're still trying to fight this thing on your own. So this time you say, well, forget them. I know Ray Ray no good anyway. I shouldn't have given him any money. Now you want to call all your so-called friends.
Thank you, praying God.
And then you begin to call, all right, Sue. You know you and I, we're tight. You say, Brother Baba, what's up? And then before you realize it, ain't nobody picking up your... You know they have something called caller ID now. They see your name. They say, oh, no, I don't want... I'm sick and tired of Kunte calling my house. I got my own problem, too. Click. That's when you begin to realize that you are really, really in trouble. Do I have a witness in the house? Now you're getting really concerned. Now you're getting stressed. Your blood pressure is now going up. You run out of somebody to call. You're waiting on friends to call you. Ain't nobody calling. You wonder why people are not returning your calls. Folks are simply saying they don't want to fool with you. By now, you're in panic. Sometimes you scream. Now you realize, finally, that if God don't get you out, you'll never get out of this. Am I talking to somebody? Maybe I'm just preaching to my own self this morning. Been there. Ladies and gentlemen, you realize if God don't bring you out, you'll never come out of it. You begin to realize if God don't turn things around, ain't nobody will. Just encourage somebody right now and just touch him or her and say, help is on the way. Come on, come on, encourage that brother, encourage that sister. He say, help is on the way. Amen. The songwriter say he may not come when you want him, but it's always. Here you are, mama can't help you. Daddy can't help you. Brothers can't help you. Sister can't help you. Your friends are nowhere to be found, but it's good to know there is a God. He said, I'll be a friend that's still closer than a brother. Somebody shout, here come Jesus. Come on, say like you mean it, here come Jesus. Today I come to tell somebody, I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're working with. And you may not know, you don't be fooled by my smiles. I've been through some storms. I'm going through some storm now. Ain't no shame in my game. But I come to tell you, the Lord sent me to tell you this morning, today may well be the last day you will cry over the matter. Open your mouth, shout amen. Open your mouth, shout amen. You know why you can shout amen? Because Jesus is en route. Jesus is on his way to your storm. If you receive that, shout amen. God is fixing to bring you out. God is fixing to save you. God is fixing to heal you. God is fixing to heal your loved one. God is fixing to make a way out of no way. When all friends are few, God has a way of making a way out of no way. Who am I preaching to this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you noticed in your Christian life that when things are going really crazy, that's when God showed up? Oh, I wish I got me some real witness in the house. When you really think it's all over, that's what the Bible is talking about when he said, God is your refuge. Am I still in the book? God is also our strength. Not only is he our refuge, he's our strength. He's a very present help. When? So when you find yourself in trouble, look out for Jesus. Amen, somebody. I say when you find yourself in trouble, look out for Jehovah Rapha. When there's sickness in your body, just look out for Jehovah Rapha. When you run out of cash, oh my God, look out for Jehovah Jireh. When your life is in turmoil, look out for Jehovah Shalom. He is peace in the midst of storm. When you're going on a job interview, look out for Jehovah Nissi. For he has promised to be your banner. So never let the devil have the last word in your life. Amen. Everything that was broken, Jesus is able to fix it. I know you're nervous right now, but I hear the Lord say, don't be afraid. I know you're worried right now, but I hear the word of God say, fear not. I'm with you. Isaiah 41, verse number 10. He said, I'll hold your hand. I'll be there for you. The Bible said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Talk to somebody next to you and say, neighbor. Sometimes it gets rough, but Jesus is on the way. If you believe it, shout amen. The Bible said Jesus was coming on the water, and all of a sudden, this is why I say you got to look out for Jesus. Every time I get in trouble, before I get into my pity party, sucking my tongue, I begin to look around. I say, I know Jesus is somewhere around. I just know in my knowing. In my spirit, I just know he's near. His name is Jehovah Shammah. The disciples look around, and sure enough, they saw somebody walking. Now, the only problem is that they couldn't recognize Jesus. Sometimes you are so messed up in your trouble that even Jesus show up, you don't recognize him. That is why they said it's a ghost. It's a ghost. Everybody was scared. Everybody was afraid. But you know how the story went. Jesus told them, look, calm down. It is me. Don't be afraid. And if you don't hear anything I have to tell you today, while I don't know the details of what you're dealing with, but I hear the Spirit say, calm down. Do not be afraid. These two shall pass. I thank God today the storm don't last always. There will come a time when the storm will be over with. Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Being afraid will kill you. So Peter said, okay, I feel you. If it's truly you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. Please permit me to say this because I got to stop in my analysis. I don't believe Peter walked on water. I believe he walked on the word. The word for Peter is come. And he heard that word and he stepped out on that word. And I don't know what you're dealing with today, but I want to encourage you this morning, learn to walk on the word. Is there anybody here that's in the middle of a storm? Please, I beg you. I'm preaching to my own self as I preach to you. Learn to step out on the word of God. If you're willing to step out on the word of God, storm may rise, wind may blow, but when it's all over, you will still be standing. Step out on the word in the midst of your struggle. Step out on the word in the midst of your pain. Step out on the word of God in the midst of your hurt. Step out on the word of God in the midst of your disappointment. Tell the devil, you got the storm, but I got the word. The word of God will sustain you. Grass may wither it, flowers may fade, but the word of God, I can tell you the only reason I haven't lost my mind is because of the word. The only reason I'm still alive today is because of the word. The only reason I haven't run out of town is because of the word. I don't know who I'm preaching today. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word will stand forever. If God tells you everything will be all right, I've got a feeling. Stand to your feet right now. I want to pray with somebody. You need to quit being nervous. Tell your neighbor, walk on, walk on. Stop being afraid, walk on. Stop being nervous, walk on. God said in his word, 1,000 may fall, 10,000 by your right. But as for you, it won't hurt you. Because the Bible said, everything will be all right. I want to pray with somebody today. When I was going through, I ran into the word. You know what the word tell me? That I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I planned a fundraiser, it didn't work out. I plan a telethon, it didn't work out. I consult with expert, it didn't work out. But the Lord reminded me, didn't I tell you that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you? That means you can buy that car through Christ. You can buy that home through Christ. You can come out of that pain through Christ that strengthens you. You can overcome that temptation. You can overcome that addiction. You can overcome that trouble. You can outlast that circumstance.